The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
You're listening to the newly rebranded Fire Breslow Podcast, presented by your Bastards of Boston Baseball. I'm your host, Charlie Smith. You can find me on Twitter /X at Smith_MLB. My co-host for this one, Dougie Sunshine at DHSN23 and Chris Felico at Italian Stallion. If you want more Bastards of Boston Baseball content, check out bastardsofbostonbaseball.com. So we got ourselves a nice fun episode with hot takes. Dougie, why don't you lead us away? The Boston Red Sox have been absolutely on fire, for the lack of a better term, winning three in a row. That's our highest win streak of the season, which is
that's on fire for us.
That's on fire for us. So, Dougie, why don't you keep the sunshine going? What do you got?
Oh yeah, the first one, first hot take is coming in from Drew at Aces794. And he says that Breslow leaves to take a position elsewhere. And that's a hot take, because I don't think anyone would want him to work in their organization at any position. I don't know why anyone would. I think he's completely failing, and I think everyone sees it. I think he's getting fleeced on trades, and people see it. I don't know what team would want to bring him in. Maybe you'll see, you know, he's a pitching consultant somewhere. And, you know, he's doing something like that. But other than that, I don't see any position that he would take on any team. I mean, that they'd be bananas to see what this guy has been doing and say, we want that guy in our organization. We want the guy that went to the team of the last, you know, the premier team of the last 20 years and has turned them into nothing. That, you know, and has all the resources at his disposal and does nothing with them. Yeah, let's bring him to the A's and give him no resources and see what he does. It just doesn't make any sense to me. I wouldn't hire him to do anything, honestly. But so I just disagree with that take. I think it's a pretty hot take. What do you guys think?
So at face value, when you read it, you're like, this is the wildest take I've ever seen in my life. It's about as hot as lava. But the more I've read it, and then in listening to you kind of give your take on it, it's, first of all, is he leaving on his own, or is he leaving after we escorted him out of the building? I mean, there, you know, I'd need to understand that context too. But assuming he's leaving on his own, which would be a pretty wild take in itself, for another vice president of baseball operations, like, absolutely not. There is no way anyone would take him. I wouldn't take him to be like the vice president of baseball operations for my fantasy team, let alone an MLB organization. However, I actually do think that there is a possibility that someone would take a chance. And I'm like you said, as far as a pitching consultant or something in a front office regarding, like, honestly, I could see him going to the Tampa Bay Rays, which are all about pitching, no namers that come out of nowhere. And him actually succeeding in that type of environment. Because the truth is, if you were to have like a co-GM in Boston, and you're like, Craig, you figure out the pitching, other GM, you figure out the hitting, we might be World Series contenders. However, however, he's responsible for both and is 110% focused on strictly pitching. And has it gone all well? No, but it's gone more well than not when it comes to pitching and Craig Breslow. So it's a hot take. I feel like if he's leaving, it's because we're escorting him out of the building, and I don't see him getting a job very quickly. Although I could see, especially coming out of a lockout, once, you know, things start, the temperature's down, people start to forget, they're all about the baseball is just coming back. I could see someone taking a chance on him as far as with pitching in their organization.
Yeah, that's fair. I could see that.
I struggle to think that he'll ever hold the position titled GM/baseball president of operations or president of baseball operations, however you want to call it. Because at this point, if these other 29 teams are watching what's happening with the Boston Red Sox unfold, and you give that person the keys to the castle, you are being irresponsible for your company. That your team is a company, right? You're taking away its value by making some of the moves that you've done, right? This is quite possibly one of the most uncomfortable experiences that Red Sox fans have to go through, because we're literally watching the team be stripped away twofold. One, you're losing talent, and two, the people you're bringing on add no value, aren't even getting the opportunity. It's just a complete waste of time. It's a complete waste of time. And I don't know if I would trust him to be a pitching guru in, you know, the front office of another team. I don't think he's earned that right yet. I just don't. And if we're going to say he's a pitching guru, or, you know, he wants to do or focus just on that area, he's getting rid of good pitching. He's not trying to help your team. He's helping other teams. So if there's a job out there where, you know, you just help everybody else, like, you should just be a consultant. You shouldn't be anything related to the front office of any team. Because if your job is to focus on one aspect of the game, why are you getting rid of that aspect of the game that you're supposed to, like, grow and get better? Because you've taken away what you're supposed to make the focus on, and you've brought in pieces that are not that good. So I don't know, man. I think at the point, if he gets another opportunity anywhere else in Major League Baseball, that's just a dumpster fire. And there's already one in Major League Baseball right now in Boston. Anything you guys want to add?
Belief in him whatsoever.
No. Chris.
Yeah. Okay. I was going to say, I tried to play devil's advocate in my mind and think.
Yeah. No, you made a good point.
Of the tenure of Heim Bloom, because I was not a believer in Heim Bloom. Didn't like, you know, the condition he left the Sox in. But the truth is, Heim Bloom, I think his biggest issue was he was reluctant to pull the trigger on moves, very similar to Craig Breslow. But he wasn't
100%.
Wasn't trading away pitching talent. Yeah, he traded away Mookie Betts, but we all know that wasn't his decision. He was tasked with it and failed miserably, but he was tasked with it. So I agree. It's very hard to make an argument that someone would be dumb enough to hire him, but this is the MLB, and there's a lot of dumb owners in this sport. So that's the only hope that Craig Breslow has.
So here's the thing, right? You brought up a really good point. Chaim Bloom is going to be remembered forever as the GM that traded Mookie Betts to the team that ended up winning the World Series and then proceeded to win two more since he's left. Won 2020, that was the year he left. He left the COVID year. He won in 2024, he won in 2025. He's now the active leader in World Series rings with four. There's no one else, I believe, with four. There's a couple people out there that have three, but nobody has four. And if you have three, you're currently a Los Angeles Dodger. That's it. Like, there's no other way around it, right? Which GM do you think has done a far greater disservice to the Boston Red Sox? Is it Chaim Bloom, who, as you mentioned, Chris, didn't pull the trigger, didn't have the stones to get anything done? Or do you think it's Craig Breslow, who's just been making trades willy-nilly and just making this team a bigger laughingstock? I'm curious, Chris, and then Doug, you go second.
Who's worse? It's definitely Craig Breslow has done worse. I think because just from the fact that even if you think Chaim Bloom was bad, which I did, like, that should have been your warning, right? Like, don't do this
100%.
Again. And he's not only done it again, he's done it worse. Yeah, he's done more to bring in talent than Chaim Bloom did, but he's also sent away a lot more talent than Chaim Bloom did collectively. Obviously, there's no player as good as Mookie Betts that we have shipped out, including Rafael Devers. I know there's a lot of people who love Rafael Devers. Rafael Devers is never going to be Mookie Betts. It's just what it is.
I agree.
So, yeah, I mean, it's Craig Breslow, and it's not even close.
Yeah, everything Chris said. I just, he's right. It's just He's and it's. I think Heim, you know, Heim got a job right away, right when he left, and I don't think anyone was surprised by that. We would be surprised if Breslow got another job in that sort of position.
I would be shocked.
Yeah,
I would be shocked that there's another team out there that doesn't care about their fan base or their team, yeah. Right? These situations where you can't play devil's advocate. It was like earlier when we're all picking teams and we said the Los Angeles Dodgers are going to win the NL West. And I think we all picked the Tigers to win the AL Central. There weren't too many other options and it just didn't feel like any other thing made sense. This one just doesn't, you know, it doesn't make sense to try to argue this one, right? Breslow has made only bad moves. The only move he's made that has been good was when he had the Fort Knox of farm systems and he got Garrett Crochet. And now there's people out there that are talking about trading him, which is insane to me. It's like if we trade Garrett Crochet, the person you just gave a dumb contract to, you've learned nothing from some of the mistakes you've made in the past. When it comes to Chaim Bloom, he was trying to be too perfect with every move. He was afraid to make even the smallest mistake. So you can't say that trading Mookie Betts was a mistake because you either trade him and you get the little pieces that you got, or you don't trade him at all and then you lose him and then you don't get anything for him. That would have been a mistake, right? So I think in that sense, to both of your points, one got a job right away. The other one is not going to get a job right away. The other one's going to have to settle for whatever is being offered, as opposed to, honestly, I think Chaim Bloom probably had choices. I think Chaim Bloom decided on the Cardinals and felt this was the best option for him. And he's proceeded to do a couple of trades with the Boston Red Sox. Like at one point over the summer, we're sitting there going, or not summer, but before the season started, thinking, wow, it's crazy. Breslow's making trades, but he probably forgot that there's 28 other teams outside of the St. Louis Cardinals because nobody wants to trade with this guy. They know he's an idiot and they know that they can fleece him. If the Milwaukee Brewers call you, don't answer the phone. If the St. Louis Cardinals call you, it's probably going to keep ringing. You're going to always answer the phone. If the if the Padres call, don't answer the phone. They'll find a way to screw you too. So it's just, I don't know, man. Breslow has just brought this team back. I don't know how many years, and I think we are teetering on the precipice of actually being in a place where even with the strike year, we're probably not a relevant ball club for at least another 2 to 3 years. And it sucks to say that, but there are other teams out there that are spending big money. They're bringing in great talent. They're taking care of their farm system and being mindful of their farm system. And we're doing everything wrong. And it starts with the top. Anything else you guys want to add to that one?
No, that's good. I'm good.
Chris, go ahead. What's your hot take, buddy?
Let's see. So I've got from Dam0013@Dam0013. If when Breslow gets fired, Cora takes his spot in the organization. Whew. This is a pretty hot take because I got news for you. I don't know if Cora would even want to come back to this organization. He seemed pretty happy that he left the Boston Red Sox in the condition that they did. And to be honest with you, I don't know if I would want him. If we didn't get rid of him, I don't think this is a hot take because I think this is kind of what we were expecting at this point. That if and when Craig Breslow left, that Alex Cora was the heir apparent, and there was some relief in the fact that when he was fired, it's like, all right, well, that's pretty much going to shut the door on that. And that's probably why this is a hot take. Now, it would just make absolutely no sense, too. Like, we went from Chaim Bloom to Craig Breslow. We keep going with these first-time GMs, but at least these people held front office positions, had experience being behind the GM or the vice president of baseball operations for an organization. Like, they at least have that on their resume. Alex Cora has never served any role in the front office of an organization. And to be honest, as more and more information came out before he was let go by the Boston Red Sox, it seemed like he had a little bit more input in some of the decision-making with the moves that Craig Breslow was making, which would only make you think that you would not want him even more. Because we're sitting here and saying, let's fire Craig Breslow. If he was complicit in any sort of way to the moves that were happening, why the hell would I want him to take over for the guy that I just fired? the guy who was agreeing with him makes no sense.
It seemed like Cora was happy to get out. Right, all his post after and his whatever he was doing after, it seemed like he was relieved to get away from this team right now and to get away from Breslow and to get away from whoever else, you know, whether it's the owner, whether it's Kennedy. I don't think he's, you know, running to get back here. You know, maybe if Breslow is fired and they really reach out to him and say, hey, this was the, you know, he was the problem. We want you to come in. Maybe there's a path there, but I think Cora is happy to be gone. I think he's, you know, got his eyes on another job somewhere else because, you know, he'll get one somewhere. And I think he's happy to just put this team in his rear view right now and go on to the next chapter. I don't see him ever coming back.
I don't think he's going to come back either. I mean, he's getting paid right now. He's getting paid, I think, the rest of 2026, and he gets paid for 2027, if I'm not mistaken, right? I think there's a year plus on that deal. He just gets to be a dad now. I mean, he's getting a full salary for kicking it now. If another team signs him, he's going to get the whatever manager minimum is. I'm sure there's something like that. And then the Red Sox have to pay the difference. But I don't think another team's going to do it. And I don't think he's running to get another job right now. He can enjoy vacation. He's literally getting paid to vacation. Can you imagine that? He's getting paid millions of dollars to just kick it. And it wasn't a ceremonious goodbye. It wasn't like Alex Cora said, you know, guys, I think now's the time. I don't want to be here anymore. I think I want to be done with baseball. I want to leave on my terms. He made it so that he wasn't going to leave on his terms. He was going to be let go. He was going to be fired. And he's going to continue getting paid. And rightfully so. Whether you like him, love him, hate him, loathe him, it doesn't matter. The Boston Red Sox had, was it Ron Renneke took over for him for that year that he got suspended and he was there. And then Cora took a whole year suspension, came back. The Red Sox gave him another chance. You wanted him so bad, you let someone else take the fall for an entire year. You brought him back. I don't see how Alex Cora accepts the position in any part of the Red Sox front office with John Henry here, with any of the current owners here. It's not going to matter because the taste is still not fun in his mouth. He's getting paid to vacation right now. It's one of the reasons why I think Terry Francona wouldn't have come back if the Red Sox called him. But the Red Sox also tried tarnishing his legacy, making it look like he did something wrong when it wasn't Francona. Like, this was a team that was doing dumb stuff, and they try to make him the fall guy. It's like the whole Don Orsillo thing. It's mind-boggling. I still don't forgive it. I don't hate the Padres 100% because Don Orsillo's there, and I love listening to Don Orsillo call games if he's there. If Don Orsillo is an option, Don Orsillo is the trump card. I will listen to him broadcast whatever game, whenever. If you don't like it, there's the door. I don't care. I love Don. I think what happened to him was an absolute travesty. And I think that the situation with Alex Cora and the entire list of managers that ended up losing their job was also done poorly, especially since we just won 17-1 that game. You won by 16 and then you can't everybody. It just didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, Devers getting sent away after he hit a home run and won the game. And then he's off, you know, minutes later. It's one of those things where I feel like the decision must have been made before the game. Alex Cora doesn't owe the Boston Red Sox anything anymore. Like he did when he gave, you know, a whole year suspension. Maybe he would have struggled to find a job, but I think he would have probably found another bench coach job somewhere else in Major League Baseball. Someone gave it to him. The Boston Red Sox were still like, okay, we'll give you another chance. So now he's been vindicated of his, you know, mistakes. He served his time. So he doesn't owe you, he doesn't owe the Red Sox anything. He doesn't owe the Red Sox a damn thing. So no, there is zero chance that I see this guy coming back in any capacity, so long as the owners are still the owners and Breslow is still here for as many more days as he's here. Anything else you guys want to add to that?
Well, would either one of you want him back?
Me personally, I think no.
No.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I agree.
Do you?
No.
I mean, what would even be the position? Yeah. I mean, I don't want him as the GM.
Well, no.
Yeah, that's
right. So, like, what? So, I don't know. Yeah, like, no.
I'm good. I think, honestly, like, they need we need to clean house. We just need to do it the right way. And it wasn't done the right way. And there's been a couple rumors of, you know, they mistreated one person. They told them that one person was going to be reassigned and the rest of them said F that. And it just was ugly from the start. Our third take here, this is coming from our very own Jeremy Schilling at JT Schill 20. Breslow acquires a right-handed bat in the month of June. It's kind of a hot take a little bit. And I preface it by saying it that way because Breslow should have done this in March. He could have done it in February. If he's not going to do it then, I don't think he's going to do it in June because this team still isn't a playoff team. You could say, oh, we're two games out, we're three games out of the wild card. Wake up. Stop sipping on the sauce. It's not happening. There are better teams in this league. There are by far better teams in baseball. The Braves are one. The Dodgers are another. The Rays are in our division. They're better than us. They're going to beat us in a five-game set or seven-game set. We don't have a chance in hell of beating them in a five or seven. Maybe a three we get lucky, but not five and definitely not seven. I don't think it's going to happen. And on top of that, you've made so many dumb mistakes by trading for pitchers or trading pitchers away and bring these, like, you know, bench guys, what the platoon dynasty, as Terry likes to call it. And you're getting rid of your entire rotation. It slowly but surely, it's just dumb move after dumb move. And what you should have done was not trade Kyle Harrison, you know, not trade some of your farm pieces away, kind of take a piece out of Chaim Bloom's book where you don't make as many trades as you possibly can because that just doesn't work out. You're getting fleeced on all of them. And you take a beat, you take a step back and realize, okay, this year is over. I don't need to trade for Dustin May. I like Dustin May. I liked it. I don't know if any of us were truly James Tibbs III fans at the time. And hindsight 2020, we didn't know what he was going to turn out to be this year. And he torched it to start 2026 in the minor league farm with like 8 home runs in 11 games and an OPS of 1975 or some absolute crazy number like that. But you could have had Kyle Harrison. You still could have Chris Sale. And I'm going to, Chris, I think you were the one that mentioned that to one of our new guys about how I will harp on that for as long as I can. He's still just absolutely raking. Kyle Harrison, 7 innings, 11 strikeouts, couple hits. He's got a 1.87 ERA, something stupid. But that $130 million deal that you gave to Ranger Suarez, you could have gotten a bat, maybe two, right-handed bat that we absolutely needed. And we got Contreras, but I think we still need another one or two. You didn't need to give the money to Suarez if you still had those other guys. And Harrison was little to no money. Like, what was Harrison getting this year? I'm not looking at his numbers right now, but
don't forget Quinn Priester.
Yeah, don't get me started. I mean, that's what I was saying earlier with the Brewers. If that team calls you, don't pick up the phone. Unplug it, rip it out of the wall. Don't even think about it. Just go do anything at this point. Go on Tinder for all I care. Just anything but that. I have to look at it to see what he's getting. Kyle Harrison is arbitration eligible one in 2028. He's under team control. He's making $786,000. You idiots. You could have gotten two bats and just gone to town. You could have had Priester and Harrison and Sale. You whatever with Tanner Houck, whatever with Cutter Crawford. You didn't need Ranger. You don't need to spend $6 million on IKF. You could actually get two proper bats, even if you have to overpay. Kyle Schwarber could have been yours for $45, $50 million. Imagine if Kyle Schwarber was here in Boston right now. If we had a couple extra runs per game. I bet you we'd be playing well over 500 right now. All those, since our RPU is on fleek, where we're allowing 2 to 3 runs, Schwarbaum's going left and right. we'd be winning a lot more games. I bet our win streak would be higher than 3 for the year. So, yeah, I mean, absolutely, Jeremy. We need a right-handed bat, but we needed one before, you know, March 1st, and we didn't get it done. So if he didn't get it done then, I don't think he's going to do it now. And it's just frustrating and annoying. Doug, go ahead.
I can see him throwing a desperation trade out there and trying to get someone, but I don't have any faith that he'll get anyone that makes any type of difference to our team. I don't see anyone. I don't see a big trade getting made. I see him maybe making a move, you know, a desperate move to try to save anything of his job. But I don't think anyone is willing to make a big deal with him. And he's afraid to pull the trigger. We know that. So I see him making maybe a small deal, getting another right-handed bat. Yeah, maybe. But no one that's going to change anything that's going on with this team.
Yeah, I mean, if the take was he's going to trade for, you know, an exceptional right-handed bat, a game-changing right-handed back, I think that that's a very hot take. I mean, is he trading for me? I'm a right-handed bat. I mean, that's a trade I think he might be able to pull off. I mean, Caleb Durbin's a right-handed bat. So we know he's capable of bringing in right-handed bats, one that's going to have the impact that the Red Sox need. I have zero confidence that's going to happen. For all the points that you guys mentioned, I mean, at this point, Craig Breslow, he's made some good moves, but even in those good moves, we've lost a lot of good players. And it's sad because some of them we never even really got the opportunity to see if they were good players. And then some, of course, didn't do well here, were shipped out somewhere else and miraculously got fixed by other organizations. And some of them organizations that aren't even known for being great teams, right? Like even the Chicago White Sox have made Jordan Hicks look playable in moments this season. Whereas Jordan Hicks, I didn't want him even in Fenway Park, let alone pitching in the game. So Craig Breslow, yeah, can he trade for a right-handed bat? Sure. Is it going to be one of consequence and impact that is going to bring us to where we need to be? Absolutely not.
Frustrating for me is if you look at the list of players that have, you know, 5, 6, 7 home runs. Guys, have you guys been looking to see what Dom Smith is doing right now? Do you guys know what his numbers are right now without looking? I posted it in the group a little while ago. Yeah. So Dom Smith currently right now as it stands, 343 with 5 home runs, 22 RBIs, and a 916 OPS. Dom Smith. I have no words for that. I have absolutely no words. Dom Smith, who last played for us back in, was it 2 years ago? 24?
2 years
ago, yeah, I think. Yeah, big Dom.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
He hit 237. He's now hitting 100 average points higher. He's played in half the games, and he's already putting up the same numbers. Do I think he's an absolute star? No. But is he making an impact? Yeah. And it's crazy if you look at it, how many players that are playing Major League Baseball right now that have less than 1 or 2 years of experience who are absolutely raking. Like the Colorado Rockies, they have a guy named Mickey Moniak. Have you guys looked at his numbers? A couple years ago, you could have had him. You could have traded for this guy if you really want him. And again, hindsight 2020, of course. But guy's 28 years old. You probably wouldn't have had to give too much to LA if you wanted to trade for him. I don't know, man. I think this might be a bad point because Moniak's a left-handed bat instead of a righty. But still, I mean, you look at the numbers of the players that are actually doing damage right now, and you look at our players, we are a singles, doubles, that's it team.
Your like singles
if we hit a home run, yeah. we are
singles, yeah, doubles sometimes.
Guys, I mean, how many players on this team right now, no looking, have 3 home runs or more?
3.
1.
4.
Maybe 2 or 3.
Contreras, Duran, Willier, Sedan.
Well, Contreras is one. He's got like 10 now at this point.
Yeah.
I think we have like four. So you've got Duran, Abreu, Sadon should be on that list because he has, I think, four now. And yeah, you got Contreras, Abreu, Sadon, and Duran. Aaron Duran. That's it. Yeah. And Duran only recently started getting hot, right?
Yeah.
Otherwise, you have a bunch of twos and ones, or, you know, the Massa Zero, who's played 30 plus games. And I mean, you're at this point, if you're the Boston Red Sox, you're praying for no baseball in 2027, just so all these dumb contracts get off the books. But it's sad that we have to hope for no baseball in order for like a fix. That's our fix. No baseball is the fix.
Yeah.
Dude, if we had Dom Smith, they'd be building a statue on Ipswich.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And Dom was a left-handed bat too. Another left-handed bat. So all, you know, maybe just because it's left-handed, they're just not, they weren't looking in those directions. But I mean, I think it was last year, a year plus ago, I was curious to know if the Red Sox could have gotten Spencer Steer. And I think Spencer Steer's a right-handed bat. I don't know how he's doing right now, but he's not doing bad. 7 home runs, 18 RBIs, hitting .273. Couple stolen bases, 15 walks. We could have had this. I mean, I would have traded for that guy. Why aren't we trading for somebody like that? He can play first base. He can play right field. It's so dumb. I mean, these are the trades that you should be trying to like have conversations. These players, you should have conversations around them. And instead we're just fishing. We're just hoping to catch something. And it's, hope is not a strategy. We've said it before. You can't expect for hope to be the solution. It just doesn't work. Anything else you guys want to add to that take?
I do want to add that I was a believer in James Tibbs. I may have been one of the only ones. I thought he was the only intriguing part of the Rafael Devers trade. In fact, it was in one of my well-written articles on our Substack. But and I was devastated when we traded him for Dustin May because I had no faith that Dustin May was going to do anything for us, and he didn't do anything for us. Other than look like Jeremy Schilling with hair, the Irish goodbye of our podcast. That's about all he did. That one still stings me. I really feel like he might turn into be something. And guess what? I believe he's a right-handed bat.
Tibbs right now is 11 home runs, 34, 35 RBIs. Hitting over 300 when I last checked. I mean, he's not hitting .545 like he was early this year, which is like absolutely insane. But he's absolutely crushing. He's played 40 some odd games. And the only reason why he's not on the big league roster right now at the age of 23 is because their outfield in LA consists of.
He's on the Dodgers. That's why.
Correct. Yeah. You got Michael Tucker, Andy Páez, and I forget who their third outfield. Oh, Teoscar Hernandez.
Yeah.
You have Teoscar Hernandez, Michael Tucker.
Kyle Tucker.
Kyle Tucker. And. And Andy Páez in your outfield. Good luck. You're not going to play. Honestly, like one of them has to move. And if I'm the Dodgers, I would be fielding calls for Teoscar Hernandez and then bring up Tibbs. Yeah, that's literally what would go through my mind right now. Otherwise, Tibbs is playing on 29 other teams right now. He's good enough to be playing or getting at least a decent chunk of at-bats right now. I don't know what his split is against righties and lefties. You said you were a real big fan of his. Originally, Chris?
When he came in the trade, he was the one prospect that intrigued me because when we got Kyle Harrison, I was like, all right, great. Like, I don't see much of a future, especially with like the state of the Red Sox at that time. Jordan Hicks was a toss away, throw in piece. And then the other guy, I forgot what his name was, to be honest with you, but another pitcher that no one's ever heard of. But the more I started looking into, you know, Tibbs and then looking at like where he was in the draft and like, there was speculation that the Sox may have been in on him, but there was like, we didn't need an outfielder. And I mean, look at us now, right? You got Roman Anthony out. How great would it have been to be able to plug him in his position? Oh, and he solves two problems. He's probably a better defender than Roman Anthony. He is an outfielder and he's a right-handed bat. Three things the Sox need. And it would have given us so much flexibility and you could have said goodbye to Duran. But I digress.
Out of curiosity, I wanted to see what his splits are against lefties and righties. He's pretty even. 308 versus 317 against lefties. He's got 7 home runs against righties. He's got 4. I mean, he's just a good hitter. versus right-handed pitching, he does a little bit better in the home run department, but he's had, you know, twice as many at-bats. So, I mean, if you were to give him the same number of at-bats, he probably hits them about the same. So, you know, just another missed opportunity by the Boston Red Sox to, you know, keep a prospect that was worth it. I mean, dude, can you imagine being Tibbs? Like, man, San Francisco didn't want me. Boston didn't want me. I can't even start in LA. Like, this sucks. He's in a tough situation.
Yeah.
You know? But if the Dodgers trade for... Well, I mean, the way I look at it is if Tarik Skubal wants to look, you know, play meaningful baseball, maybe he goes to LA and there's a move there to be had, and Tibbs would probably be the centerpiece for that trade. There's going to be a lot of other pieces to get, you know, Tarik Skubal if you're going to, you know, try to get him, and Tibbs would definitely be the top piece. No question. Yeah. None.
Yeah.
No question.
Yeah, he'll probably get moved.
I wouldn't be surprised. Anything else you want to add, Dougie?
No.
No? All right. Well, that is going to do it for your Fire Breslow podcast, your Bastards of Boston Baseball, bringing it here for you. If you're looking for some daily fun articles, bastardsofbostonbaseball.com is where you can go, and you can listen to the pod wherever it is that you listen to podcasts. Everyone have a great one. Take care.